So let me say this about our government and its policies. We legalize abortion. Killing of children, that's legal. We euthanize the elderly in some states right now. If you get two or three doctors agreeing upon it, you can put a person to death. My point, don't look for our government to protect these households that are in question. Our government happens to be in the extermination business. They kill people. As long as I'm on my soapbox. When it becomes more economical for the government for you to die than for you to live, guess what their decision's going to be? Just call me cynical. I have grave concerns about the health plan that our government has in place right now. Don't talk about future health plans, the one we have in place right now. Paul, to move along, speaks of Jannes and Jambres, how these two Egyptian sorcerers and magicians, how they resisted Moses. Jannes and Jambres were of Pharaoh's court. They were in that inner circle. They were like in his cabinet. And they did not help the people. They only duplicated several of the plagues that were already upon the Egyptians, you know, the serpents, the water, and then water into blood, and then the frogs. So many frogs, they would rake them up into heaps, and a dead frog stinks, by the way. Can you imagine what Egypt smelled like? These heaps of dead frogs around. But Jannes and Jambres, their biggest sin was they caused the heart of Pharaoh to harden because they duplicated some of the plagues there. And then all of Egypt suffers because of these two men. You can read the book of Exodus that talks about, you know, children of Israel coming out of Egypt. You can read the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, but this is the only place in Scripture where Jannes and Jambres are mentioned by name. I found that peculiar. One, it demonstrates Paul's great knowledge of Jewish history, that he would know who these two guys are, Jannes and Jambres. and they're notorious. They're notorious for opposing Moses, and thus they oppose God. And they go down in history as men of corrupt minds, and they're used as an example here in 2 Timothy. They're disapproved by God concerning the faith. Likewise, we have some TV ministers that creep into household of gullible men and women, loaded down with sins. And like Paul, we too could name names here this morning. It's not appropriate, and I won't. But, you know, you watch TV, you look at some of these programs. I had one person tell me that when regular TV gets real boring, they turn over to the Christian channels. Well, I hope it's harmless. I guess some Christian TV is okay. It's just hard to find. Be careful. But unfortunately, many of these guys that creep into the church are likened unto Jannes and Jambres, sorcerers and magicians who entice and deceive with actions and words. And the final word on Jannes and Jambres, who avoided any name recognition for like 1700 to 1800 years, they're finally exposed by the Holy Spirit and made manifest to all in verse 9 there. And I find that interesting. You know, they go all those centuries without being known, and then God names them by name. But for you, for us as Christians, let's finish the chapter, verses 10 through 17. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul's encouraging words to Timothy and anyone else who's really followed Paul's doctrine and Paul's manner of life, his purpose, his faith, his long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, affliction, which happened to Paul in several cities, not just in one place, not just one time, but this seemed to be a pattern of Paul's life to suffer persecution. But he says, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. How great. Speaking of the Apostle Paul, Lori and I have a relative, not a close relative, but a relative, who looks upon Paul as a bigot, chauvinistic, headstrong man. I look upon Paul as an apostle of God, the greatest missionary who ever lived, willing to suffer greatly for the cause of Christ, willing to be used as an example for future believers and present tense believers. Paul, to me, is a hero. Paul, on a kind of a regular basis, says to those he writes to, look at me, be like me. As a parent, as a pastor, I seldom say, look at me. I should be able to do it more. I don't do that out of humility, but I do that out of an awareness of what a poor example I can be. Paul says, look at me. You be like me. I will demonstrate a Christian life before you. Be like me. So I'm not a Paul basher. I'm a Paul promoter. Apart from Jesus, I don't know of any greater man in Scripture than the Apostle Paul. So as Paul writes in verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There's one for your refrigerator. Put that one right up there. Persecuted Christians around the world, they take comfort in this verse. It's only in America and a few other countries that we're void of Christian persecution by our government or a caste system. You know, there's over 200 billion Muslims in the world, and they dominate societies that will persecute a Christian at the drop of a hat. It's just the truth. And then you've got other countries that are into other religions, India, China, Russia, and they too persecute Christians. But Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he tells us things are going to grow worse and worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. They're going to be deceiving that's going on, and woe to those who do the deceiving. One definition of deception, and I really like this one, is knowing the truth and doing nothing about it. You might as well be deceived. If you're not taking a stand for the truth, you might as well be deceived. And I have a point here. Look at the Christian churches today, even denominations that no longer hold a biblical standard as a guideline for a Christian's life. But to Timothy, Paul writes, from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Speaks well of his mother. Speaks well of his grandmother, that we know they raised Timothy up in the Scriptures. And Paul says, these Scriptures make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. Many of us were raised in Bible-believing homes. That is a tremendous blessing in this world that we live in today, where truth is subjective. Truth really isn't subjective, but they portray truth as being subjective. You know, feels good, do it. Whatever's right for you, you know, go pursue that. But you know, being raised in a Christian home, I have avoided several things. I've never had to stare at my belly button looking for truth. Or sit cross-legged around a candle on the floor and go, I've never had to do those things. Maybe you have. I don't know. But from an early age, from childhood, many of us have been exposed to the Holy Scriptures. Tremendous blessing. Now a word about Scripture that deserves a Christian's complete understanding and acceptance. And this is a very famous verse here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So anytime you get a group of people that says, well, that's not really what the Word of God says, be leery of them. Be leery of them. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That verse is probably my life's theme. It's the reason I devoted my life to study all Scripture. All of Scripture, not just part of it. That's why it's so good for us as a fellowship to go from Genesis to Revelation. Go through all of Scripture. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I do understand and know that we Christians are blessed with truth. You ever thought about that? We have the truth. The truth of Jesus Christ and his word. And all Scripture does one thing. When you break it down, it points to Jesus. That's what Scripture does. It's his story. It's about Jesus. And if you're not finding Jesus and his character in your Bible studies, keep looking, keep digging, for the Bible is about Jesus. It's his book. All Scripture is given that the man of God or woman may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we get the idea that we're created not only to study God's word, but to do good works. You heard it here first, okay? All God wants us to know about himself is in his word. There's no fantastic new revelations there. God has already printed it out for us about himself. He says, what I want you to know about me is in my word. So the Bible, is the only book any of us can read or study and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is truth. Everything else I read, even commentaries, I put on what I call my blinders. I read it from the point of, is this true? The Bible, I don't have to do that. I can just open it and read it and let it flow over me. So a lifelong task for most of us is study the scriptures and rightly divide the scriptures. As a believer, your life and my life gives testimony to the validity of scripture. You've heard it said, and I probably have said it myself, we're the only Bible some people will ever read, and that's true. Many people will never open a Bible, but they look at their Christian co-workers and so forth, and that's the only scripture they will ever read is your life and my life. But spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So, before I begin to write down my sermon notes and put my thoughts together on a sermon, I have a little prayer that I go through, and that's, God, guide me by your Spirit, make your word alive in my heart where I can give it out as alive to you. Because if it isn't real to me, how can I make it real to you? And Jesus is faithful to do that. By his Spirit, he is faithful to make his word alive. But we need to have the Holy Spirit working in our life to understand Scripture. That's why an unbeliever can read the same passage you and I read and they not have a clue what it means, what it pertains to, or anything else, because it is spiritually discerned. You need to be a Christian to understand God's word to you. And if you're not a Christian, we can take care of that. Aren't you glad that we have the opportunity? And it is an opportunity. I never, ever try to talk somebody into becoming a Christian. Because I'm just foolish enough to believe if I can talk you in, somebody else can talk you out, you know. But if God is dealing with your heart, if he has shown you enough truth that you should grip onto it and realize this is truth, then you owe it to yourself and to your Lord to bow that knee before him and become a Christian. It's that simple. And let your life have meaning. Let it have a purpose before, more than just seeking out pleasures that are temporary or even seeking out sin that is pleasurable. So, this morning, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there'll be men in the prayer room that would love to pray with you. I will pray with you. Don't leave here without knowing your Lord and Savior. It's that simple. With that, let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, we come to you, us who trust in you and rely upon you and believe in you, and we would pray for any that might be here that do not know you. Awaken them, Lord, to their true condition. Show them how separated they are from you. Show them, Lord, their need of you, and then give them that courage. Give them that desire, that strength to do something about it, Lord. So we pray, Lord, don't let anyone leave here not knowing you, the giver of life. We pray for that, Lord. We ask that you would just go before us this week, Lord. We pray that we would be into your word and that we would study your word and that we would be equipped for every good work that you have for us, Lord. For you created us for good works, to bring you pleasure, Lord, and we want to do that. We, your church, cry out and say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Life. We have one work, and that is to believe in Jesus, who God sent. That's your work. That's your life's goal. No other goal. There it is. We have one work, and that is to believe in Jesus. Therefore, we are to show our love of God in response to his love by obeying him. We are to work the works of faith, a lifelong work of believing in Jesus. And if I do this by an act of my free will, I bring God pleasure. I bring God pleasure. And for that, I was created. So now you know why you exist. And you wouldn't have got that if you hadn't have come here this morning. No. What? I mean, the teaching of Scripture gets so simple sometimes. I'm a bottom line guy. I constantly reduce things to bottom line. To understand that we were created for his pleasure, we love him in response to his love, and the work of our life is simply to believe in his son. Didn't Christianity just get simple? I mean, it is that simple. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, first of all, for creating us. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us. And you gave your son for us. And the Lord, it's just simple logic for us to love you in return. So help us to love you in return, Lord. And then, Lord, help us to do the work of man. And I simply believe on Jesus, your son. And thank you, Lord, for making your word so simple, so plain. Really, Lord, so easy to fulfill. And we just thank you for your goodness to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If I can get you to stand, please.